This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Michael Bamberger has written plays. He is the author of Men in Green, a senior writer at Sports Illustrated. You can also find Michael's work online at golf.com, where his latest article is a unique look at Arnold Palmer, coming on the first anniversary of Palmer's passing. It is a pleasure to welcome Michael Bamberger back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Michael.
John, a pleasure to be with you. Some of the happiest moments of my phone interview life have been with you, so thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I don't know that I've ever had anyone say that. How's your summer been? Did you play much golf?
I did. I played a tremendous amount of golf. We got two kids out of college, and it's like a load of bricks off my shoulders, and just found myself drawn to the links more than ever, and enjoying it greatly and losing fewer balls.
That's good. That's good. Best place you played?
The best place I played? Probably the 9-hole course in Philadelphia called St. Martin's. It's certainly the place I play the most golf. It's just a mile or so from my house, and you don't need a tee time. You can just slip right out there and play with a friend of mine named David Morris, an actor friend, and we have a great time out there.
I have a dear friend who said if you have to make a tee time, you got too many members.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah.
You don't need a tee time at the patch, do you?
You do not, I believe. Talk about this article. You decided to talk to Arnold's oldest daughter, Peg. Why? What were you hoping to learn about Arnold?
Well, I have talked to Peg periodically over the past year or so since Arnold's death. I've written a lot about Arnold. I knew he had two daughters. I've never talked to them. Maybe just met him briefly, but I knew from some earlier conversations with Peg that she was an extremely interesting and insightful person, and that her voice had never been heard. That's why. So I've cited her in other stories I've written since Arnold's death, one about his love of flying and another one about his love of club tinkering. And I just knew there was a lot more there, and that's where I went back to her and asked her if she was willing to go deeper about her feelings about her dad and what she's experienced over the past year.
She's very different than her dad, isn't she?
Well, it's probably like a lot of kids with their parents. There are areas of extreme similarity and extreme difference and a lot of areas of clashing. And, you know, beneath the surface always, a deep level of love mixed with regret and lots of other complicated things. But yes, politically, for one thing, she's very liberal. Arnold was conservative. She's very open. Arnold was often circumspect. She seems not to care about material things. Material things were important to Arnold in some ways, other ways not. So yes, they're, I would say, very different people. But in my experience now, I would say I knew Arnold like a sports artist and get to know Arnold pretty well. And I can't say I know Peg as well, but I would say their similarities are probably as great as their differences.
She does mention she thinks that all the money and all the fame and all the adulation changed her dad a little bit, didn't it?
Well, I think what she's saying there is that she's born in '56. Arnold won his first tour event in '56. Arnold basically did all his winning between '56 and '66. You don't do that much winning without being super devoted to the working class craft of getting really good at golf and staying really good at golf. at some point, I think what she was saying, my reading of what she was saying, so you're getting a lot of interpretation here, and I want your listeners to understand that. I think it's important that they do. But my interpretation of what she's telling me is that he more from working class golfer, and I would say all golfers, are, it's a working class profession, you know, so we can say dig it out of the dirt, to golfer businessman, to icon, celebrity slash icon. And those latter two categories, most particularly the last, require work, but of a very different sort. The golfer really doesn't have to answer to anybody. The celebrity has to answer to the people who are paying the bills. So in that sense, yes, she cites a change in demand. But part of his success as a celebrity icon, a beloved one, by the way, I mean, I barely knew him, and I would say I loved him, you know, in that, not in the paternal or the, you know, friendship kind of sense, but he was an endearing figure and an important one in my own life. To be that person that he was, a celebrity, he had to constantly hold on to who he was in the 50s, in the 60s, because that persona sold. So in some sense, you become a character in the movie of your own life, and I think that's what she is saying.
We're talking with Michael Bamberger here on the Augusta Golf Show. I found this interesting in many ways, Michael. She talks about the memorial service for Arnold, and she seemingly was not a big fan of that. And all I kept thinking was, that is such a point of, you know, your father has just passed away, and you want those memories, but you also realize he was a figure of the people. He was, and the people want to pay homage to your dad, and that's got to be conflicting.
Well, I think that must be true for any child of a famous person, because the public, to use a grandiose phrase, does have a right and a need to mourn the death of someone who is a significant figure in their life. Just as Peg says in the piece, my dad brought a lot of excitement and joy, anticipation to people's lives, yours and mine, I'm sure, included. And so we have a need to mourn. You know, she does have to share, whether she likes it or not, and she recognizes this, her dad with us. Because he was Arnold Palmer, you know, in quotation marks. So that comes with the territory, and she's a very sophisticated person, for one thing, a very intelligent person. So she very much understands that, but that doesn't mean, you know, for people who were at the Basilica at St. Vincent College that day when Jim Nance led us, I was happy to be there, and applause. It was a very moving moment for a lot of people there. That doesn't mean that she liked it. Doesn't mean that she got anything out of it, but she recognizes that we have needs too. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Do you think there are portions of this story, Michael, that will upset those that idolized him?
Well, sure, because we've got so few idols left, and I mean, it's the nature of our culture is that we. We know too much about other people, and therefore they can't be the heroes we want them to be in our minds. But I think it's also important that we recognize that these people are real with real foibles, and that actually they can be heroes and real people at the same time. And if And Arnold, I think we knew for years before Arnold's death that he was fallible, and who among us is not? And I think actually it makes the person more interesting and more endearing and more real. And but also is a reminder to ourselves that it's great to have a hero and it's great to have an inspiration, but let's not take it too far. These people aren't God.
He is Michael Bamberger. Again, you can find the article online, golf.com, as we celebrate in many ways the the first anniversary, the passing of the King, Arnold Palmer. Michael, I always appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you, sir.
John Patrick, thank you for all your kindness. You take care.